I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, we're rolling to hour number three of Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN, getting you ready for NFL draft tonight. Of course, we've got some playoff games as well. The draft coverage, though, begins tonight, 7 p.m., and you can hear it on the ESPN New York app. You can also watch it on ABC7, ESPN, and the ESPN app as well. That's where all that stuff's going to be. Here on 98.7 ESPN, we have the Knicks and the Sixers. And that game tips off at 7:30 in Philadelphia, game three. And then the Islanders and the Hurricanes, they're at UBS Arena. Islanders down 2-0 in a series that they could easily be either 1-1 is for sure they should have been. But now they're down 2-0. That game, game three, is a 7:30 also, a 7 p.m. No, puck drop 7:30 with a 7 p.m. pregame coverage. And that you can listen to on 10:50 a.m. The K-Show's coming up after us, and we have you for one more hour. 800-919-3776, and a lot to get into. So, Bart, without further ado, it's hour number three. It's Bart and Han on this busy of a day. What's that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
Was that 10?
Woo!
Plus six.
Finish him.
Great buys for the Jets and Giants. Man can't really lick their popsicle in public.
Excuse me.
I bite my popsicle.
I mean, what were you doing there, man?
Yeah, I bite the hell out of you. You got to eat your popsicle in public like a man. You know what I'm saying? Hey, don't suck it on no popsicle. You got to bite that. You chew my popsicle, son. And I'm cutting my banana up into slices.
We still looking for the booty man.
I swear, I'll never forget that moment. You bit that banana. I was like, damn.
Man, the whole thing? You ain't seen me eat no banana.
He just took the whole thing?
Okay, yeah. When you ate your banana, you put it in your mouth and then took it out.
Everybody knows that I blend that thing right into the smoothie.
Oh, sure, everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that. It's the Power Hour brought to you by Open Road.
Low down, dirty Shane.
Auto Groups. Grab a couple of calls here before we get into more discussion. Chris in Monmouth. What's up, Chris?
Chris. I'm in.
What's up?
Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Yo, guys, listen, I got to tell you something about the NBA right now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm a Knicks fan. You know this. You know this part. But that clip you played with Tatum, the passive arrogance and dismissiveness of him to the Heat, and LeBron the other night, AD the other night, Embiid the other night, your highest stars in the NBA, the faces of the league, have been so arrogant and unprofessional, unaccountable, and this is why the Knicks will beat the Sixers. This is why the Heat will beat the Celtics, because they are not playing with arrogance. They are playing with confidence. That's the difference. And by the way, this year is so weird. All for the last 6 months, all we hear about the Knicks are, they're not a championship team. They're not going to win the championship. I got to tell you, why? Like, yeah, Denver is the leading team to do it. I get it. But they have just as good a chance to make it to the finals than anybody in the Eastern Conference. And I think we win tonight. I'm not saying we're sweeping, but we win tonight. I don't see a letdown.
It's interesting, though, that if you look at the latest, I think it was it FanDuel, I believe, that put this out. No, it's BetMGM, actually. This is your thing, Bart.
You as an NBA guy,
the favorites,
aren't you disappointed by these? By the LeBrons and the ADs and
No, come to expect it. I've come to expect it. I mean, Joel Embiid was the one guy that did actually say something significant after a loss that was devastating.
His hands in his face, hands below.
Well, he couldn't see. He's got a thing with his eye, you know, with the camera lights.
You never get that with Michael Jordan, Allen. You never get that with Scottie Pippen. You never get that with the
Scottie
stars.
Scottie Pippen had migraines and wouldn't come back into a game, and then refused to check into a game when he wasn't getting the final shot.
I'm talking about the press conference. I'm talking about when it's over. I'm talking about when it matters.
It matters. Scottie, you've got to go in to win the game. Scottie, my cousin.
Listen, Embiid said, "We're winning this series." That was pretty strong stuff. I mean, he's down 2-0, and he says, "We're still going to win this series."
Let me just tell you something here. I was there Monday night. Mm-hmm. Monday night, mm-hmm. I was celebrating the Passover holiday with my wife and her family up in North Jersey. Mm-hmm. When that went in with DiVincenzo,
yep.
I hugged my brother-in-law so hard, I think I dislocated my shoulder.
Your shoulder? I thought you broke a rib.
Yeah. The most exciting moment since the LJ 4-point play that Patrick Ewing put in. I got to tell you, anybody who thinks like the Garden is not the place to be, they don't get it. Yeah, I'm an East Coast New York guy, but man, it was terrific. I appreciate you taking a call.
Thanks,
Chris.
That's
why LeBron's coming here next year.
You got to draft his son first. So listen to this, BetMGM. This is your thing. Mm-hmm. They put out the favorites by percentages, right? For them. Celtics right now at 39.5%, the favorites to win the championship. The Nuggets at 27.9% are number two. Number three drops. I mean, this is a huge drop-off now, right? Because you already have 40% and then almost 30%. 6.3% Thunder. 5.6% Dallas Mavericks. Also 5.6% Minnesota. The next East team after Boston is number one is the Knicks, who are also tied with Dallas and Minnesota at 5.6%.
Disrespectful.
No, but the point is that what the caller was just saying was they have as good a chance as anybody. According to some of these prognosticators, the Knicks have the second best chance. After the Celtics, it's them.
So if the Knicks,
which makes tonight's game.
Well, that's still low. But if they win, they win it and they beat Boston.
It's win the championship.
Would it be 3%? Tonight's game is
critical for both teams.
The third game is always because you expect both teams to win home.
Who has more pressure?
It's the Sixers. It's a must win back against the wall, but that's the hardest team to beat. A team that, you know, if you beat them there, I think you take their soul, and then they try win one just not to be swept.
I think it's equal. I'm telling you right now.
Jalen Brunson hasn't played well.
No. And if he has another bad game, if he still struggles offensively and all that, you lose this game.
It's going to hurt his overall.
I think momentum shifts in this because then the Sixers go, we should be up 2-1. Like the Sixers know that they should have won game two. They gifted it, and they feel like all the momentum is in their pocket now.
Yep.
That's why I think it's equal. I think the Knicks have to feel pressure tonight. Have to feel pressure tonight to win this game. And it's going to take Jalen Brunson solving the Sixers. They got to figure it out. They had 2 days now to figure it out.
And take them off the ball, man.
I don't know if that even makes sense.
Run them around like Steph Curry off the
ball. Well, they've done that.
Like, don't make them carry it up.
But the problem is that if you have somebody that is staying with him and then the help defense takes away the passing lane, then what happens is you can't get him the ball back. Now you're asking secondary players to score, which the Sixers are betting they can't, especially on the road now. We all know this. Role players play better at home. Go on the road. Does that change? Does Josh Hart still make those shots? Right? Like, think about that. Does Deuce McBride come in and make shots on the road? Now, there's one other thing I want to point out. The referee crew tonight is an interesting one. Zach Zarba is the crew chief. Now, Philly fans are furious because Zach Zarba is from New York. He still lives here, in fact, in New York. He's a New Yorker. So everybody in Philly is furious. Now, one thing to keep in mind that I was reminded of by a friend of mine in the league, officiating crews for the first four games of a series are laid out before the series starts. So this is not like, game two had a lot of mistakes. Let's send these guys to fix the problem. These guys were already scheduled to do this game, so this is not like an adjustment. But one thing that I will point out to anybody that thinks this favors the Knicks because of some home field, home court kind of thing, he's from New York, he must be a Knicks fan. Wrong. In the last 3 years, which Tom Thibodeau coached, and this is the last 3 years for the Knicks have been their best 3 years in a decade, right? Is that fair to say? Mm-hmm. The Knicks' record when Zach Zarba is officiating games is 6-12.
Sub .500.
That's not good, right? Like, now, one thing to keep in mind as well is that this is also a crew that will call a lot of fouls, and their overturn rate is very high. So when you are challenged, like coaches challenge, this is going to be a long game because you're going to get whistles, free throws, and challenges. That's my prediction tonight. It's going to be a long game. So we'll see.
We're going to have people.
But anybody that thinks this is like, this is some conspiracy. There's no conspiracy here. There's no conspiracy whatsoever.
He got fouled.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He's getting fouled.
Yep.
He's getting fouled.
Yeah, I imagine he's going to say
fouled.
This a few times.
He's getting fouled.
But
he's getting fouled.
But Zach's I think he's a good ref, and I think he's a good dude. But
I mean, what are you talking
anybody
about?
Anybody that's looking at this and feeling like there's some kind of conspiracy, there is no conspiracy. There's no conspiracy. This was done before the series began. But that's what they're saying in Philadelphia right now. Like, oh, this guy's from New York. Figures. Mm. You know, it's going to be, though, to me, a lot of whistles. There's going to be challenges. This is going to be a long one, my opinion. And how
it's going to be passionate. I can see like things. This is the point where things get chippy. This is a chippy game. Like
physicality. You think it's going to get physical tonight?
Yeah, you feel like you got cheated before.
Mm. Philly's going to be desperate.
Philly,
yeah,
they're going to be complaining and being super physical and over aggressive because they know how important it is. And if the Knicks match that physicality, then it's going to create a boiling point where somebody's going to get in some type of scuffle. You start not liking each other when you play each other, you know, this many times in a row.
That always does happen. And now, of course, there's this. The last time the Sixers played in that building, again, that's we know Philly. It's passionate. Those people are just – it's Northeast, so you know. Whether it's Boston, Philadelphia, New York, you know what you're getting from your fan base. They're going to be fired up to begin this game. That can also work against the home team. Because it gets you a little too uptight, a little tight, a little too fired up, a little too excited. Whatever it is, it could work against you. The Knicks, of course, have to be ready for whatever's going to happen at the start because you know it's going to be loud, it's going to be aggressive, it's all that stuff's going to happen. You got to be ready. You cannot start this game off soft, no soft fouls. Like, you have to be ready. But if the Sixers miss a few shots early, the groans begin. That building turned on them in the play-in game. They got booed off the court at halftime when they were losing to the Heat. They ended up winning that game late. But still, that was not like that was not an optimal situation. Tobias Harris was hearing boos constantly throughout that game. So that's something else to watch is will the emotions, they could work against the Knicks. They usually do against the visitors team. But sometimes it can work against the home team. And if guys who were struggling continue to struggle, like a guy like, of course, Harris is one, I imagine Embiid is going to probably get to the free throw line a ton early. He'll do his usual 15 points in the first quarter kind of game, right? Maxey will be a blur. What the Knicks have to do is just keep that thing from getting out of hand. And this game's going to be all about that.
You got to manage your emotions.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have that emotional high that they're going to have coming out.
Yeah. But Embiid, to me, is a player. If you keep the game close, that fourth quarter, what we've learned is in the fourth quarter, he's got nothing in the tank. Nothing. And you have to keep it close so that when you get to the fourth quarter, you know that you're conditioned for it, and they're not.
Joel Embiid still eating oxtails. You ain't eating other plants.
That's right.
We ain't sluggish.
Plant-based works to your advantage. So, just keep all that in mind and keep the fact that Embiid already predicted that they're going to win the series. Josh Hart was asked about it. What did he think?
I don't care. They're not. We're up 2-0. So, like, it doesn't, when the NBA starts, basing the series on what we think, then I would care a little bit more. But right now we're up 2-0 and we are now with the focus on trying to get out there with.
I mean, if you go up 3-0, that's the death knell. We all know that in the NBA. Death knell. All right? It's over because nobody comes back in the NBA. This game for the Knicks, like if you want to get out of this series, You got to win this game. Like, you got to think of yourself as this is the most important game because it does change everything. You cannot go into this and just feel like, well, you know, like, what was I hearing from one of these other series? Oh, we knew this was going to be a long series. What did the Celtics said? We knew it wasn't going to be easy. Well, we knew it wasn't going to be easy.
Right.
Like it's the playoffs. Of course not. But it doesn't mean you accept it. Like,
right.
Oh, yeah,
we knew
we
probably
no.
lose one.
Hell no. Yeah, or we're going to lose. No.
Without
no.
Jimmy Butler and Rozier, but, you know.
Yeah, I feel like this is critical. I don't want to, like, overdo it because if they lose and then tomorrow, you know, I don't want to be doom and gloom. But I'm looking at it like you survive this series if you give me one more. And you didn't even have good games yet. You've had good finishes. Can they put it together tonight and have one good game that pretty much slams the door on this series? 800-919-3776. Jana Yonkers, Jan.
Hi, I love your show. I listen to it every day.
Thank you.
And Bart. Thank you all so much for taking my call. I think the Knicks have to treat this game like a game three, like a game seven.
Agree.
I really do. And I think they should not depend on the officiating. They need to go out there and just blast the Sixers out of the building.
They have to get
all the things.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jen, they have to survive the beginning, which is going to be emotional. And if anything, try to turn the crowd against the home team because that crowd will do that.
Yes, but you know what I'm afraid of, guys? The Knicks' defense against the three-point shot is horrible at times.
they give you the shot. They do.
That's the biggest problem. And if Jalen can just come out and give us a 30-point game, and just run circles around the Sixers, I think we can win game three. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Jan. Yeah, appreciate it. I mean, that's
who's going to be the unsung hero, man?
We're always waiting each night, right? First night it was Josh Hart. Second night it was DiVincenzo. Who's it going to be tonight? But you know what it needs to be, though, Bart? I'm telling you, it needs to be Brunson. It's got to be Brunson.
This is what you get paid for, to be able to shine during the brightest moments.
Yeah. D like in Brooklyn.
I understand I'm being a decoy, but
hello?
At some point you got to get yours. What's up, D?
We got you, D.
Yeah, what's up, Bart? You're the dog when you played, man. First-time caller. I just want to chime in on the NBA. Through Steph Curry's genius, American basketball has been destroyed.
Yeah.
Anytime you sit and you can make the game into a three-point shooting contest, you're eliminating other advantages you have, such as athleticism, skill, height. So when you get into that, like Miami did with Boston, and Boston's going to lose that way. When you have a good point guard like Jrue Holiday sitting in the corner waiting for Brown and Tatum to go one-on-one and he becomes a spot-up shooter, you're making it a three-point shooting contest, and on any night, anyone could win. I want to also chime in on American basketball when it comes to the will. Why does Luka Doncic out-rebound Zion Williamson when he's physically not as big as him?
He wants it more. He's more exactly. He's just more competitive. He's just got the one thing about Luka. He's maniacal when it comes to winning. Like he's a psycho. He wants to win badly, and a guy like Zion certainly is competitive and wants to win, but it's not at that same level. And it's just real. All these guys, the difference from one level to another is simply who is more maniacal.
With the Knicks now, I think Tibbs should have been the coach of the year because you look at the compilation of these players they have gotten, except for Brunson, they were all role players. They have come and overachieved. Hart, DiVincenzo was a great college player, but his NBA career wasn't this fruitful until he became a Knick. Precious Achiuwa.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody have overachieved and bought into Tibbs' schemes of things, and they are winning. I don't think they should have won the first two games. I used to be a Knicks fan. I'm not going to get in why I'm not, but it was obvious the referees put the whistle in their pocket, both games in the clutch, so the Knicks could get the ball back. Knocking people down, everything.
Hasn't the entire playoffs been about putting the whistle down and letting the guys play? It's more physical play.
Watch the other series. It's just the same.
I mean, Minnesota, man, There's blood going on down there, Shane.
I mean, we knew this when they sent out. Remember, there was a memo, right, that was before the All-Star break. And they let all the teams know, like, this was coming, that they weren't going to feed into the foul hunting, which is actually, you know, Jalen Brunson's one of them. They're not letting him do it. There's other players are not letting them do it. You know, I saw a play last night. Dribbling up the floor was Tyler Hero. And he was just, you know, dribbling up the floor. And then he just stopped short in front of a Celtic player, and the Celtic player fell over him. They called the foul on Tyler Hero. Was it Porzingis? Yeah. And they called the foul on Tyler Hero because it wasn't a basketball play. Like, you just ran into him trying to draw a foul. So they wouldn't give it to him. They called it on him instead. That's the stuff they're trying to officiate out of the game. And people have said there's been enough studies done and fan polls and everything else. Do you want more physicality back in the game? And everybody said yes, that it had gotten ridiculous. We were seeing guys scoring 70 points in a game, 150 points in regulation. It got too much. And so that's why you're seeing it. And I'm telling you, tonight's going to be physical. Tonight is going to have whistles. Tonight is going to be emotional. And it better be, because if the Sixers don't have any of that, they're going to lose. Because the Knicks play like that every night. They bring that every night. If the Sixers bring it, it might be a tough night for the Knicks if Embiid is fine. He's had 2 days off. That's also a big part of this. 2 days off, I imagine he's going to have a monster first quarter. Monster. The Knicks have to survive the first punch. Then they have to see if they can hang in there and get the crowd uneasy and see if it can turn against the Sixers. But as Jan said, I agree with her. This, treat it like a game seven. You don't treat this like, well, all right, you know, we're up to, no. Treat this like a game seven.
Yeah.
Must win. That's how you got to treat it. Mentally feel like we get this, it's lights out. And then even if you lost game four, which, by the way, game four is on a Sunday at 1 o'clock in Philly. If you win this game, that building Sunday in Philly will be loaded with New York fans. Loaded. Telling you, that's a fact. So this game is huge. 800-919-3776. We will continue with your calls. And how about, Bart's got to hear this, but Peyton Manning had to chime in about the Denver Broncos getting Zach Wilson. So I want to hear Bart's reaction. You're going to hear from Peyton Manning, and then Bart gets a chance to respond. That's coming up. Stay with us, Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Kyle's Nation, listen up. ESPN New York has your chance to score tickets to the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs. They got game three tonight, and you can be there to see your New York Islanders take on the Carolina Hurricanes in game four at UBS Arena. Enter to win at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. Just scroll down to contest, submit your entry. It's brought to you by the New York Islanders. Be a part of the electric atmosphere at UBS Arena. Get your tickets at NewYorkIslanders.com. If they get this win tonight, and again, I got to watch it on my phone while also doing the Knick game for MSG tonight. If they get this win, I got to be at UBS on Saturday. Got to be there for that game.
Let's see how they respond from heartbreak.
No, you're right about that, too. I mean, that's a heartbreak. I mean, they've got to respond. That building's going to be extremely loud, so it'll be great. All right, meanwhile, NFL draft also tonight, so a real busy night with the Giants at the number 6 pick, the Jets at the number 10 pick, and the Jets have already moved on from one of their previous top picks. You remember, Zach Wilson was taken number 2 overall in 2021.
Got that extra 6 to use, baby.
They have, by the way... 5 quarterbacks went in the first 15 picks of that draft. Only one remains with his team. That's Trevor Lawrence. Zach Wilson was the last one.
He hasn't been the revelation that we thought he was going to be.
It is unbelievable. But at least he's made a playoff appearance.
Yeah, it's true.
But Zach Wilson now with Denver. And so, of course, that means Peyton Manning had to chime in on what he thought of the move for Zach Wilson, what Denver's going to get, and, of course, a little shade also thrown at the Jets.
The change of scenario for Zach Wilson, I think, is going to be a good one. I don't know how many coordinators he had in the time he was there, but I want to say it's at least 2, it might have been 3. As you know, for a young quarterback, the best way to – I think screw a young quarterback up is to change coordinators on them every single year. And it drives me crazy. Look, I was very fortunate. I had an old school coach named Tom Moore, who was the coordinator the entire time I was there in Indianapolis, right? Tom Brady had different coordinators, right? Charlie Weiss, Joshua Daniels, Bill O'Brien, but it was the same system, right? Belichick said, hey, we're running the same exact system.
So he had 2. Mike LaFleur was there with him. And then, of course, when the Jets went for Aaron Rodgers, that's why they brought in Nathaniel Hackett. I know Hackett came in first, but let's be honest, they already knew what they were doing there.
Yeah, Denver's really been a model of consistency and stability. Name the quarterbacks that they've had after Peyton Manning left. So, yeah, I'll wait.
It's a long list.
So they'll miss me with that, man. Yeah, I think, listen, nobody wants to know your opinion on that.
I mean, a change of scenery certainly is something that Zach Wilson needs.
Yeah, of course.
I mean,
that's closer to BYU, closer to the West Coast, all that stuff.
Did the Jets ruin Zach Wilson?
Did everybody else get ruined? I mean, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, but is it, could you say that? Yes. Here's why. When they drafted him, they did not have a veteran backup. Remember? That was a big topic of conversation.
That's something they've made.
They basically drafted him and then threw him right to the Wolves, which we all knew made no sense. And then when they're like, oh, well, we need somebody to come in and just serve as a – like, how long did it take to get Joe Flacco? How many weeks into the season? Like, it just was so poorly done. And that is true. And that is, again, why I said to you, sometimes a draft is done and decisions are made that aren't really based on football. I mean, isn't that true? Because why would you draft this kid at number 2 and then just say, we're just going to throw him in there? When you know he was not ready. He was not ready. And you weren't ready. So that's the problem that you have sometimes when you take these quarterbacks so high in the draft.
Well,
they're not ready.
In New York.
And who are the quarterbacks that actually survive more than not? The ones that don't play right away. Think about this. Joe Burrow started right away, right? Mm-hmm. But and he played and he was...
Tore his knee up.
Yeah. Tua didn't start right away. Justin Herbert didn't start right away. Jordan Love, we know, didn't start right away. Right? When you think about these quarterbacks out of the gate.
Jalen Hurts.
Baker Mayfield didn't start right away. But Sam Darnold did.
The Jets helped him.
Right? Lamar Jackson didn't start right away. So when you think about, like, you draft somebody and you throw them right to the Wolves – man, you really got to believe in this person. You got to believe in them. And then you got to put some type of support system around them that'll get him through what you know is the obvious hard times that are coming. Bryce Young got completely overwhelmed. Now, CJ Stroud, it worked to his advantage.
Well, we'll see what happens with Caleb Williams because he's going into a great environment.
Yeah, you're right. It's a good point. That's actually a team that should be successful.
I did the count for you.
Okay.
9 of the last 21 have started their first game.
9 of the last 21.
So it's less than
50%. Yeah, which means it's, yeah. Like
even Josh Allen, the first year he was drafted.
He didn't start right away, right?
Nathan Peterman started that first game and wow.
Yeah.
Well, you might as well. Cause...
No, but still, the point was that even the franchise knew we don't want to do this right away. We might have to ease him in. And then after one game, you're probably like, okay, we got to get him in. But the point is that I think it just gets ridiculous what we do. And we're going to do it again tomorrow. These quarterbacks are going to go. We might get 5 in the first 5 picks. And everybody's excited on draft night. And everybody feels good throughout OTAs. And everybody's happy in training camp. And then about 3 weeks into the season, it starts to become bust. This guy sucks. Guy can't read a defense. This guy's not ready. Yeah, of course not. NFL's hard, man. It's difficult. It's not easy. Even Trevor Lawrence, who was supposed to be generational, looked like he was overwhelmed. I mean, he hasn't really taken on the world by storm like we thought he would. So, like, that's the problem that we have with this stuff. So with the Giants at 6, and the thought of moving up to get a quarterback or whatever it's going to be, if they love Drake May, they're not going to get him. If they love J.J. McCarthy, and whether you think it's the right pick or not, understand something. If J.J. McCarthy is starting week 1, that might not be the best thing. But if they draft him and it's Daniel Jones, because you know Daniel Jones is like Alex Smith. He's going to be here for a short time, and then eventually we're going to hand it over to J.J. McCarthy. That'll be a far better thing. It'll be better for J.J. McCarthy if that's what happens. That's the reality of quarterbacks in drafting, and it's my opinion, Bart. That's the reality of it all, and that's what the thing with Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold before him. Those guys never had a chance because they could never just get their feet set. Jets can't do that ever again whenever they do move on from Aaron Rodgers. And the Giants can't do it. Can't do it here.
Well, you know, he was able to sit behind Eli for a year, so you can't blame that.
Eli didn't play right away. Remember, he waited half a season before they handed him the ball. Right? And they knew we're going to lose. It's going to be tough, but we've got to get him the play. And that's fine. It's the right decision to make. Well, but it wasn't out of the gate.
Well, Mark Sanchez played out.
And you guys were ready-made, which is why Caleb Williams walked into a similar situation. You guys were ready-made, and you didn't put pressure on him to be great. All he had to do was play action pass and run the ball. Let's be honest. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. So it depends on the situation, right?
Yeah. Well, of course it does. But most situations, when you're drafting that high, you're not good. Right? You're bad.
Right.
When you're drafting that high.
So we'll see, because Minnesota moved up to get that.
That's right. That could be also an optimal situation for a young quarterback, because they've got things
great
around.
Tight end, running back. 2 receivers, decent O-line.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense just stinks.
Yeah, and that could be a problem because you're chasing the scoreboard. 800-919-3776. George in Queens. What's up, George?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I want to talk about the Jets draft. I'm hearing, like, all these people call in and say we need more skilled players. In my opinion, we have a Hall of Fame quarterback, right? He's going to elevate, in my opinion, the tight end play. And if anyone that thinks our offensive line is already shored up is out of their mind, because injuries are going to happen. Like, the 5 guys that are protecting Aaron Rodgers right now, I know 100% they're not going to play the whole year. So why not shore up the offensive line and let Aaron Rodgers do his thing? We already have enough skill players, and he's going to elevate the play of everyone on offense. We have a great chance of going deep in the playoffs and even winning a Super Bowl. We don't need Brock Bowers. He's going to be elite, but we need to shore up that offensive line. That's my opinion.
Yeah, but you have to ask yourself, like, you know, the Bengals had that same scenario, and they're still trying to shore up their offensive line. They went out and got in the draft, they went out and spent a bunch of money. The Jets still haven't really paid a lineman a bunch of money. They still got to be able to. They still going to have opportunity to allocate, you know, to go get a top guy if that guy ever presents itself. But you know, when you get generational players and you have an opportunity, you sometimes have to consider that. Is a great tackle, because this is the thing. Like, I remember being in Baltimore, Marshall Yanda, third round draft pick. He's going to be a first baller, or he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Like, is you also you don't have to pick somebody that's a first round draft pick every time to get great right. A great player.
Yeah, we forget that.
And we forget
majority of the Hall of Fame was picked second round and on.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to get people to realize that, man. It's like, and I don't think they grasp onto that enough.
No, I know, but because it's like, you know, you think you're getting one of the best players, that's why you have that feeling.
So you want to get a player that's a lineman that's good, or a player that's great at a position, because you may be able to get more out of the player that's good than the one that's great, because the player that's good, you only need him to be good because the other player is so great that he makes it easy. He don't have to block because he wins so much at the line of scrimmage. That's the old debate, Jamar Chase versus, you know, getting the offensive lineman. And they went to the Super Bowl with Jamar Chase. Now, Burrow got the hell beat out of him.
Yeah, right, right. That was always the debate. But, right, that fit was perfect for them on many levels. Latest from Rich Cimini on Twitter, what he's hearing about the Jets at number 10. They could pick anywhere from 8 to 17 as far as moving up or moving down. Mm-hmm. He said if they go up, I believe it would be for Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze. This is the two wide receivers.
Right, because,
if they go down, he said, it would be for an offensive tackle. He said, I don't think there's a scenario where Nabers or Odunze falls to 10. He said, that would be the football god smiling on the Jets if it happens. He said, I think they would take the wide receiver over Bowers or a tackle at 10, of course. He said, hard to get a read on which tackle they prefer. Joe Alt probably would be gone. Right. J.C. Latham might be gone,
right,
too. He said Talise Fuaga is a Joe Douglas kind of guy, and Olu Fashanu intrigues because it's left tackle value. He said also Troy Fontenot and Tyler Guyton are in the picture as well.
Yeah,
so there's that. He said if they go for a tackle, he said the ideal scenario is trading down, picking up some extra draft capital. Right now they only have two picks in the top 100. Last but not least, Cimini says Bowers comes into play if they stay at 10 and Nabers or Odunze are gone. He said, personally, I'd go for tackle over Bowers because of need and positional value. Points out that since 1990, there have been only three first-round tight ends who have made All-Pro. So that's the latest from Rich Cimini on what the Jets could do in the draft. And all that stuff is what you've basically been talking about throughout these last 3 hours, right?
Yeah, that's basically, you know, the exercise that you go through. You go
of course.
Through that exercise.
And the board changes pick to pick to pick, right? That's generally what you expect. All right, 800-919-3776. What we'll do here is we'll finish with calls before we hand it off to the K-Show. A very busy night, so we've got the draft, we've got the Knicks, we've got the Islanders, a playoff stuff going on as well. So real busy night, and we'll take all the calls on that before we hand it off to the K-Show. But first, of course, the road to the NBA Finals. It starts now, and new customers on FanDuel can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. Three-pointers made in a game. Well, for that Celtics-Heat series, think about it. The Celtics hit 22 in the first game. The Heat hit 23 in the second game. I imagine that's a series to watch on that. Over-under point totals, the under in the Knicks and the Sixers. First basket scorer has got to do – you got to do your homework. What are you seeing on the first possession of games for certain teams? Every team calls the same play at the start of a game. They want to get one of their guys going. Just go to FanDuel.com/Allen. You can get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 older, physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com for help with a gambling problem. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So of all the things that we discussed today, Bart, you know, like what the Giants could do at six, the trading up, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, that the Jets at 10 and all the things that could happen tonight. We even talked about the Knicks, how critical this game is for the Jets. The Knicks, even though they're up 2-0, this game is still, like, we had a call that Jen said, just treat this like a game seven. I completely agree, right? All the stuff we talked about. We had some really good takes. You had some good takes, right? The thing that really has people reacting the most is the fact that I said that if you see me eating a hot dog with ketchup, something bad is happening with me and I need immediate help. That has turned into, like, a major controversy.
Yeah, man. I don't know what you're talking about, man. That's...
I don't believe this. Lord Minucci said, stop hating. Ain't no shame about ketchup, mustard, sauerkraut on my glizzy. I just said, you ruined it.
On my glizzy.
You ruined it.
On my glizzy.
And then another one, hot take, grown adults shouldn't be eating ketchup, which I also disagree with that, because fries should be enjoyed with ketchup. Right?
Absolutely. Fries and ketchup go together like peanut butter and jelly, son.
Even better, if you ask me.
Unless there are... which I don't partake a lot of, but like if they're sweet potato fries, you got to go barbecue sauce because ketchup is too sweet for sweet potato fries.
There you go again. Yeah. I don't think you need anything with sweet potato fries. They
yes,
just taste
do.
So
you
good.
Go
you don't need anything.
You go barbecue sauce. You go barbecue
you
sauce.
Anything. No, you don't need anything.
Honestly, that might be the worst fries to me.
Yeah, I don't really like them, but truffle
sweet potato
fries?
It's going to be at the bottom of the list every time.
Really? See, not with hot dog, but with a good burger, perfect. Yeah?
I'll go curly fries.
By the way, Jake on the record, else. On the record, Jake on the record saying he puts ketchup on his.
Oh, yeah, I'm a ketchup on hot dog guy.
I mean,
absolutely.
I find that to be disturbing.
I wonder if this is a minority versus colonizer thing.
Oh, no, I'll go ketchup.
See, colonizer?
I'll colonize ketchup. Right on a hot dog.
You know, my people weren't here when all that was going on, right? My people would be in colonized in Ireland, man.
What if Columbus brought that over? Just thought I'd tickle everybody.
I knew you would do that. I knew that was coming. Mustafa in Bloomfield. What's up, Mustafa?
Yo, what's going on? First of all, ketchup on a glizzy is nasty. You got to just scoop mustard, man. That's,
preach.
That's crazy.
Preach. Spicy brown mustard, please.
You crazy, man.
Yes.
All right, cut it out. With the Knicks, man, these guys got to come in with metal bats. The first two games, they let up on the first quarter, and we had to put all the energy coming back, and we end up winning the game, works out. If they come out in the first quarter, beat these guys up and are up, man, this is going to be a sweep. I'm going on Sunday. Oh, man, it's ready for that sweep, baby. Thank you, guys. Love you guys.
Yeah, you got it. If you're Philly, God help you if the Knicks win this game tonight. Because that building, you know, they're going to sell all those tickets. Those tickets are going to be sold. And that building is going to be filled with New Yorkers. And that will be awful if you're a Sixers fan. Awful. Because 3-0, we all know, it's the death knell in the NBA. In Stanley Cup, it has happened. In baseball, it has happened. It has never happened in the NBA. It doesn't happen. And when you have a banged-up star like Embiid, you know what also happens is that they'll be like, all right, we got to dial it back. We're not coming back in this thing. So that's what makes this have that Game 7 feel. If you're the Knicks, you treat this like this is Game 7. Must win. You take full control And that's.
But what happens is when you give your all and you kind of leave it all there and you lose, oh, that takes a lot out of you.
Isn't that what happened in game two for the Sixers?
Game four, yeah.
That's what happened to the Sixers. All right, Bart, so give me your predictions. What are the Giants doing with their sixth pick? What's going to happen?
I think they end up with Malik Nabers because I think that Minnesota jumps to fifth.
All right, so McCarthy goes to Minnesota and May is going to – okay, what are the what happens to the Jets?
Chargers.
What are you picking for the Jets? Predicted.
I think the Jets are going to end up, you know, somebody like Roma Dunze is going to fall.
Wow.
I think that, you know, the Bears may get a pass rusher because their coach is a defensive guy.
Okay.
So they may go there with a pass rusher.
That's the Power Hour brought to you by Open Road Auto Group. Open Road Mercedes-Benz, BMW, and Audi offer excellent pricing, first-class experience. Choose Open Road for your next new or pre-owned vehicle. Visit us online at openroad.com. Bart, see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.